This is Notes from a Native Daughter. I am Soldanela. My guest today is a true bohemian, an artist, a woman with a fabulous voice, an actress, a musician, a pianist, and an all-around achiever. And I'm incredibly honored to have Shalia Fairuz here with me. Thank you.
Gracias, Sol. It's a pleasure to be here and to talk to you and all your, you know, your followers. I can't wait to like see where this takes us.
So I think it's going to take us to talk about you. To talk about you and your career. Mm. But with some of the guests that I've been bringing here that have these incredible backgrounds, I want to talk about this, about your background, because we are in this age right now where it kind of matters.
Yeah.
Or I want to talk about it so that people know, you know, who are these Pan-American voices? Who are these artists?
Right.
We're here.
We are.
And you're here.
And we're not going anywhere.
And we're not going anywhere. So talk about your background and how you think, because I think it's beautiful, that has made you this deep soul woman. Because I know you have.
Wow. Well, it's interesting because my mom and my dad met in Spain. They were both studying. My dad is from Damascus, Syria, and my mom is from Caguas, Puerto Rico. And somehow they just fell in love in magical Spain. I mean, what a beautiful place to fall in love with, right? And I was born in Gainesville, Florida.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, because they came back. My mom was studying. Also, she continued her studies over there. And yeah, I was born in Gainesville. And have never been back. But then I came and eventually moved to Puerto Rico, where I grew up since I was five. And growing up until then, my dad spoke Arabic to me. I spoke back. I kind of forgot most of it. I can still count to 10. My mom would speak in Spanish to me, and I would speak English, you know, colloquially around with friends. And that was kind of me up until like 5 years old. Being from this mixed background and me not looking like everybody else that I went to school with, and moving to Puerto Rico, I still didn't totally look or sound like anybody else.
That's right.
So I'm sure, and that has to have played a huge part in who I am now, and just learning to navigate life and understanding what it is to not necessarily having to look sound like anybody else.
Sure.
And at some point through your teenage years that you can resent that, but then you can embrace it, you know? But it has followed me all through my life and my career, that sense of belonging or that sense of not belonging and what to do with that. And then my parents separated and I just embraced fully the Puerto Rican culture, which I'm super proud of, but also having that longing to explore and have that other part of myself more present in my life. And it's something that I'm still trying to, like, you know, explore, especially now with what has been going on with Syria and the, you know, everything, the tensions back there in the Middle East, and seeing part of who I am and how, and
your blood
and my blood being forced out. So that's something that fills me with pain, although I haven't been able to like fully embrace that part of myself, you know? Mm-hmm. No, I mean, my mom always loved music and my dad had a beautiful singing voice. He would sing in me in Arabic. And my mom in Spain, I hear tales of her playing the guitar in like in you know, college and singing and all that stuff. And she says this really amazing story where she gave birth to me and lost her voice. She says something happened to her voice when she gave birth to me, and she always says that she just passed it on, you know?
So
yeah, very sweet. And so I guess her love for music, like, really, you know, infused my life somewhat, and, you know, how not. And then since 3 years old, I started playing piano. I learned how to read music probably before I learned how to read, you know? And she said I would sing in tune to her when I was two. You know, all these proud parent, you know, stories. And
legendary tales of the family.
You know, exactly, that they say proudly. No, she would sing in tune when she was 2 years old and all that stuff. And I started that, and I fell in love with music really early on. Later, when, you know, piano is great, but singing had another impact in me. So later on, I auditioned for the San Juan Children's Choir at 8 years old. Supposedly a little late. You're supposed to start at 5. And so I was a late bloomer and I auditioned at 8, but they chose me, and I passed the audition. And there became my, my other journey with vocal music began. Always as part of a group, as an ensemble, which leads me to the other great part of being an artist in my journey again. It has been through ensemble work, you know? So starting out singing in the choir just cemented a beautiful friendship and experience with other people. Singing in harmony, traveling the world, you know, seeing new things with a group was wonderful. It also just taught me a lot of discipline, because they don't joke, you know.
You got to go to class early. Right?
Yeah, we rehearsed 3 hours a day, 3 times a week. And when I was in third grade, we had to write a note to the school so that they could let me leave early so that I could make it on time to the choir and do all this stuff. And it was kind of awesome. Mm-hmm. That I was like, hi, peace, I got to go do my choir stuff, you know, and it was great. And that, I think, infused into my piano-like discipline as well, because everyone was so focused at such an early age with that. We were so serious about the craft and so committed. It was amazing.
So they would give you sheet music, like to learn a new song, like these little kids?
Yeah.
You would read it?
Yes. And it's another sense of ownership when you're reading music. So they gave us solfege. We had to learn how to, you know, that read music, ear training, so identify chords and intervals and everything, history, music history and appreciation, and choir. So it was a full, you know, blown curriculum that we had. And we would graduate levels. And I did that until I graduated my senior year. I was with them. And then I also did my piano. And I don't remember taking a summer off, you know, like other people, my fellow, you know, young musicians did. Summer was a time when I had more space to practice, so I kept, you know, practicing piano, throughout the summer. And so that was the foundation, I think, laid a great foundation for how I see.
And what do you think it was about the practice that you took to it? I'm curious if you know, because I was a kid that was also really serious, but about dance.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, I don't feel like it's common. Like, yeah, it's common to us. We're like, yeah, sure. Like, you know, but not all the kids want to stay. I mean, most kids that I know now, they're starting in ballet, and then I hear the mother, I know, they want to like quit after 2 years.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, that's not enough.
Yeah.
Push them.
Yeah, absolutely. I see that all the time because I'm also an instructor now. And so it's hard to, like, see this other reality when my growing up was so different. But
it was something in you. There's something about you inside you that just clicked to the material.
I don't even – I want to say it's, like, that strive for, like, growth and that commitment and passion when you really fall in love with something. And then you have also the support behind you. That helps you and that
encourages
you. Exactly, thank you, that encourages that strive for growth. I don't want to get into theories about how to raise children, but I was blessed with a mom and family that would go to every concert, and that's at every step of the way, and we celebrated every, you know, next step in growth, and that kept me going, I guess, you know. Mm-hmm. and I wanted to see my own growth, and if I didn't practice, it wouldn't happen. Hmm. And, you know, piano is an instrument that you can that can live on its own, you know, has that weight. So that was also my alone time. I grew up essentially as an only child. So I guess instead of having imaginary friends, I had a piano friend.
That's awesome. I love it.
I didn't talk to like my imaginary, and that never happened, but I did have that piano.
That's
you know?
Awesome.
So
do you sing with the piano?
Well, now I do. It's something that really consumes all my attention. When I have to when I play piano, it really consumes 100% of me. Because I basically did them isolated. I sang and then I played. So integrating them both is somewhat challenging to me. It's something that maybe who knows why, maybe it's something for me to explore in the future. But, you know, playing Bach or playing Beethoven or Debussy is just something that just, I like to hear every note. I like so, and enjoy that part. And then singing is also something that I just focus 100% on. You know, but not when I teach, I play and I listen, but my primary ear always goes towards the voice when I'm doing both of those things at the same time. So, you know.
So once you graduated high school, you had this childhood, then what did you do?
Well, that's where, you know, on my way here, I was thinking about my background and how I ended up being an artist. But there are also these other conversations that happen about art and about being 100% an artist versus be careful, will you be able to make it as an artist? And it's something that I think I struggled with all my life, that fear of just going for it 100%. And so I wanted to so bad to just do music, but I decided to enroll in the University of Puerto Rico and I studied communications as well. Because it's something, always have to have something to fall back on, you know? It's kind of that demon that we have in the back of our head. But I don't regret it, you know? Backtracking a bit, I was going to come and study here in the States. And I was accepted at Indiana, Bloomington, and I was going to go all excited. And then 2 weeks before I had to move or something like that, something inside me said, no, I want to study at the University of Puerto Rico, where my family went to, you know, where my mom went, where my grandfather went. And it was such a mystical place for me that I wanted to just live and just immerse myself in that world. So I had already applied as well to the university. So I told my mom, I just want to stay. And so I stayed and I did communications there. And at the same time, a year later, I applied to the Conservatory of Music of Puerto Rico. Yeah. And so there I was, being crazy, doing
two bachelors
in two different places at the same time.
Wow.
And then full-timing at both, because I was in the choir in the university, which gave me a break in the extension, like I didn't have to pay full tuition because I was in the choir.
Exempt,
yeah. And then in the conservatory, I had, because of my grades, I also had like some financial aid for that. But I had to be full-time in both. And so in order to keep that, I, you know, at least 24, 27 credits. And it was going crazy, yeah. It was exciting, though. I would take my car from one class and drive to the other place. Luckily, they were like 10, 15 minutes apart. That allowed me to do that. But it was a lot. It was a lot to take on. But, you know, I wouldn't change it. It forced me to just expand and grow and keep those goals. And you know, now when I look back and I have that, you know, University of Puerto Rico experience, just enriched me so much, you know. And to have, I also thought, what goes well with arts? And I thought communications, because what do artists do? We communicate. So it just gave me another set of tools to do that with.
And we need promotion. And this and
oh my gosh, yeah. Writing your web page and writing, you know, press releases or whatever. It's all something that now we artists have to do. So I don't know if that's included nowadays in the curriculum of the universities for artists, but it should be, because it's something that we definitely have to have in our in our toolbox. But anyway, yeah, and then I finished my piano, but throughout the piano, my piano years, I decided to also develop my voice as a soloist, because up until that point, I was in a choir, and it was beautiful, but I always wondered what I would sound on my own. What would that sound like? And then I did take a couple of voice lessons. I auditioned for zarzuelas, and I was chosen to be a part of a island-wide tour, and I started singing lyrically throughout the island, and everyone in the conservatory would ask me, wait, are you a pianist or a singer? Oh. And I was like, wow, this is interesting.
I'm both.
Yeah, but everyone just had like,
boom,
you know, this one instrument. And then I was like, do I have to choose, or what does this mean? What does this say about me? You know? And by the time I was done with that adventure in piano, I felt like what I enjoyed most sharing as an artist was a singer. What I enjoyed most for myself, like I enjoyed them both, but doing it on my own was piano. Like behind my door, I would play and I would enjoy it. But when it came time to share, I was a singer. And so that brought me to New York City to come here, move, and pursue singing as a career. And that was a big jump in so many ways. Because then you come here to this new place. I'd been in that beautiful bubble of island that is Puerto Rico. And then coming here to this like big world of a lot of people alone, you know, not many people. I can't say I had like that big family here. Mm-hmm. One cousin that helped me out a lot, Alexis, helped me out when I first moved.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. At least I had that. But then, you know, just stepping out of that comfort zone and growing a cantazos, like really, it forces you. This city really forces you to look at yourself.
Oh yes.
And tests you.
Oh yes.
So many times, so many ways. So that was the other challenge. You know, I was like, on my A game, I did everything, and I came here to audition, and you know what? I wasn't accepted at any schools the first year, and that was a big blow.
Humbling.
Yeah, it was very humbling, and it was like, okay, so I guess I have to try this again, you know, and start again, and that's what this is, and that was my first big, like, okay, like, reality check, you know? And it was beautiful, and I'm glad that it happened, because that's what this is. How many times do we have to audition and we get rejected? So that was my first, like, you know, advance. Like, you know, listen, this is how it's going to be. So I had to do it again, start again from zero, do all those recording demos and take more lessons and develop my technique to another degree. Until, yes, and be that 1 year lost a little bit. So I would say that that's the first time I was lost, you know?
You're lucky.
I guess so.
Yeah, people are lost for years.
I know, but
you had industry.
Yeah, yeah, but until that point, I was like so structured, bam, 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 this is what I'm going to do, blah, 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 and I just did it. But at this point, there's this first time that I was like, okay, what do I do now? I have a whole year of what? Of nothing planned. And so that's, yeah, that was an interesting year for me, finding a job.
But you did. You've had some great jobs.
Yeah, yeah. Well, my first one was as a hostess at a restaurant. And I remember that first night that I had to stand for like 8 hours.
Yes.
On my way home, I think I cried because my feet couldn't take it.
Ah,
that was, you know, that we all have that story. But later on, I kept on searching for jobs, and I came across the Harbor Conservatory for the Performing Arts, which has turned out to be a huge blessing in my life. And there I met some beautiful people connected to the music world and the Latino music world in the city. And I think I started to find my way home there. And that's where, like, oh, okay, I think I can do this. also teaching the people that we taught there, the community that went there to take classes, and it also felt like home. And so that was something that I'm very grateful for.
And what were you teaching there specifically?
When I came, I would teach anything and everything that they wanted me to teach at that point.
No, but
which
you had
was,
the skill. I mean, yeah. You could teach chorus, you could teach piano. You
Absolutely.
Could teach.
That was the first time I taught chorus, piano, music theory, and then musical theater, too, like help the musical theater program. I think it was something like that. It was like 4 or 5 classes that I started teaching there. And that was my kind of first flirtatious moment with musical theater, teaching it. I didn't know the rep. Up until that point, I had studied opera. And I'd seen a couple of shows here and there in the city. But actually, like, diving into that rep, I think that was my first. Now I'm realizing that now, talking to you, that I think that was my first time and experience with it. And so I taught some Oliver and Annie and all, you know.
I love Annie.
I know, me too. But you know what? I used to watch Annie, the movie, like every other week on my VHS.
Yeah, so you knew the lyrics.
I knew the lyrics.
It's a hard life
for us. And The Sound of Music was another classic that I would sing. Yeah, you know.
Mary Poppins.
Yes.
Oh my God, we could do a sing along.
Next
What's your
week?
Favorite Mary Poppins song?
Oh, what is it?
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
There you go.
I like that one too.
Yeah. So, but my one was like Sound of Music. Years later, I saw The Sound of Music, and I had not seen it for years, but I still remembered every word. And I'm like, where is this coming from? So I, you know, but actually, like, teaching it, that was like amazing to see, and I loved working at the Harbor for years. Shortly after, through the Harbor, I met the musical director of Fragones, and that is where my second like feeling of belonging happened, because I worked at this beautiful theater with these beautiful people. With great dreams, but they were doing it, you know? They weren't only dreams. I walked into that theater and I was like, oh my gosh, what a beautiful space. Mm. And so much laughter in the process. That's something that I really admired, like the respect for the process and the honor of the process of creation, where everyone had some input. And it was a great thing to be a part of. And so we did some great stuff together, and we still do, you know? But when it was like these certain things that helped me just feel like I was finally arriving to the city and being a part of it, instead of
just someone floating around,
yeah.
Without purpose,
yeah. So that combination, Harbor, Pregones, and then finally moving to East Harlem just did everything for me. And I was like feeling at home. I was teaching people that I could see on the streets. And they would come over and say, Miss Sharia, how are you? And like Lulu would hug me from, and I was like, wait, what's going on? And it, you know, just that sense of community that I don't even think I had in Puerto Rico, to be honest, because we all drove in our cars from point A to point B. And we made our acquaintances through different
in places,
but not geographically. I never had that, you know, feeling of belonging in that sense. It's something very typical, I think, from New York. I love it that you see the people, the barber, the.
Although it was, I know exactly what you're saying. But for me in Puerto Rico, because I grew up in Condado, it was different because it was pedestrian,
yes.
Especially, you know, in the 70s and 80s when I was growing up there.
Yeah.
It had that sense where I could walk the street and literally see, like, my friend's mother.
Yeah. It does it still have that? I wonder.
I don't know, because I've lived away for 28 years almost.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But no, growing up in Guaynabo, that wasn't my reality.
Yeah.
But here I did get to experience that, and it was great too.
how do you feel about you? You've done all this work, right? And then you go to Pregones, and then from Pregones, other amazing opportunities have come your way in terms of theater, musical theater, what you've done. And then I remember when you told me back in the summer that you decided to take it on full time.
Right, right.
Are you there?
Yes, going back to that moment where I decided to do two things at the same time at once, I think that stayed with me for a very long time. And when I moved here, I wanted to pursue my master's degree, but I always worked on the side. I wanted to be an artist, but also like teach, and finding that balance is a never-ending like search, I think, to be fulfilled. Later on, I got offered a administrative education and arts job, and that became a big deal in me, like really determining if should I do this. It's a full time, but I don't want to let go of my art of my creative outlet, you know. But I couldn't say no because it was stability, and of course, isn't that everyone's dream nowadays? For some reason, I will challenge that later. But stability, maybe overrated, was something that looked pretty attractive at the moment. Mm-hmm. And so I said yes. But here I was working 40 hours a week, creating a program, a vocal choral program for this beautiful community that I loved, and also trying to just keep doing my thing as an artist. And I did that like for 5 years. It was hard because you can't underestimate what the arts need and require of you. And we're not only talking about creativity, we're talking about stamina, we're talking about focus. And you need to grow and allow that space to happen within you. But if you occupy that with a full-time job, then how is that going to happen, right? I played the game, I tried it and I did it, and it was great. And I kept on working with Pregones, and it was wonderful. But at some point, I had to say stop. And just really look at myself and be honest and say, listen, do you really want to do this? What would happen if you take some time and dedicate 100% to it? What if? Because I saw myself at one point just going down this road and doing it and just ending up in an office, which isn't wrong. There's nothing wrong with that. But when I looked at it, I was like, am I going to feel satisfied with that 20, 30 years down the road? And I said, I still want to give myself that chance. I want to take a chance on myself and see. And so I took a summer off and just dove into like training, went back to training. And I took some acting lessons and I took some voice lessons just to build my book. And something magical started to happen. Doors just started opening. And then I got that great opportunity to work, and I like it like that, which was a musical that was brewing. We could hear the rumors about it in Pregones, and I know there was something going on. I never knew that I was going to end up being a part of it, but I did. And it was a beautiful experience because it was the first time I got to like do 8 shows a week, you know, for a long run, a substantial run. I would say like 6 months or something like that. We were on stage and living that life that seemed so far away or so foreign to me was amazing. I still remember walking like 3 months in. This was supposed to be routine, but I would walk in at night to go to the theater and just, okay, I'm walking through Times Square and I'm going to work to do this. And it was kind of like mind-blowing how that just happened, you know? So it was great to just do that opposite Tito Nieves and later on Domingo Quiñones. And they were both wonderful partners to work with and the whole team. We had a lot of laughs. We all grew a lot together because, you know, it is part of it. And once that was on the way out, we closed in January, I auditioned for another great colleague, another great, you know, kind of a hero for me in many ways, Luis Salgado. And I auditioned for him to do In the Heights, that he was going to do the first
Spanish adaptation.
Yes, in
Gala.
In Gala, D.C. And I got offered the part of Camila, the mom. and I'm like, wait, what's going on? I'm like a mom here all over the place. But I have to say, I just love Camila. There's something that I discovered with her. And there's some really great dramatic moments. And it's such a beautiful piece and so meaningful for the Latino Broadway community. That piece just opens so many doors for so many people, you know. So being a part of that legacy is just something that I'm always going to be proud of. You know, so very proud of. So I did, but then I did both. I auditioned for him. He was like, well, I'm going to offer you both. I'm going to do the English one, and then we're going to also
do the Spanish one
later on. And I'm like, oh, okay. So that was great. So I was able to do both the English and Spanish version back to back right after coming off of
I Like It Like That.
I just don't even know how that happened, but it did. We opened the English version in Axelrod, New Jersey. And I think the next week we started rehearsals for the Spanish version. And that was another like wacky kind of moment, because here I was doing the English version, but rehearsing the Spanish one. And that was like insane and thrilling at the same time. It was a mental challenge. Like, you have no idea. Like every weekend with that, I go back to do the English, like the original version. I had to be so focused that a Spanish word wouldn't slip and that was part of the other script or something like that.
Especially Spanglish people like us.
Which we do all the time.
Wait.
Espérate, pero como que, what is the, que lo que estamos, what are we doing? You know, all that back and forth, which we do all the time. So it was a lot of focus that needed to happen there. But, well, once that beautiful project was done, we dove into the other one. And then it was exploring what language does to a story, because we were telling the same story, but what does the Spanish, adding the Spanish to it, did? And it just opened so many other doors to that world.
Accents.
Mm-hmm. Well, accents. I love that he didn't expect anyone to do any particular accents. We were all from everywhere. We had people from Peru, Santo Domingo, Puerto Rico, Mexico.
Heights.
That's it. And so we embraced that fully.
That's it.
And it was beautiful, and it added all that. It enriched it so much.
Yeah.
And not only the accents, but cuando tú hablas en español, you have another swag, you know. And so my Camila in Spanish just had another swag. It had another kind of sass to her, you know, and it felt more grounded, more at home. It was that mom that so many moms that I grew up with, you know, just became a part of that Camila all of a sudden.
Aww,
you know?
That's so sweet.
Yeah. So it was a beautiful, beautiful experience. And we got nominated for a bunch of Broadway World Awards. I was surprisingly nominated as a Best Actress, and I was like, oh my gosh.
I'm like, oh my gosh.
That was amazing. But I think we ended up winning like major categories all over: Best Actress, Best Actor, Best Choreography, Lighting Design, Direction all over. So it was a beautiful, you know, thing to be a part of.
Absolutely.
For sure.
And to work with Luis.
Oh, absolutely. He's a great director.
Yeah, he's a great talent.
And you know what? I was thinking about this. He also comes from an ensemble background.
Mm-hmm.
And so he infuses that into the things that he works with.
Yeah.
And so I felt right at home when I worked with him, because it was all about we as a family.
Mm-hmm.
There was no principal versus ensemble. We were all the same in the same boat doing this together.
True.
And it was beautiful. And I made some amazing friends that I still work and still see and still hug and still hang with.
Yeah.
You know, because we were all like in the same boat doing it. It was great. It was great. I'm so happy. It's been a great year. But then I came back.
You start again.
And there it hit me. Nothing lined up. Not nothing. What do I do now? What am I doing with my life? And then we have that. I want to say it's like every 2 weeks that you wake up and you're like, what am I doing? Am I supposed to be here? Am I supposed to be doing something else? Because then you compare yourself with other people around you, not necessarily artists, but just people that you know mm-hmm. and love that have another lifestyle based on another set of interests. Know. Yeah.
And commitments.
And how do you navigate that without going crazy, you know?
Yeah. And I don't think it ever ends.
No. I guess it's our eternal struggle, and we have to really accept it mm-hmm. and not fight it and mm-hmm. also go back to that I'm different and that's okay kind of feeling, you know, because the world just has a way of just telling you how to live your life sometimes. And we have to sometimes, you know, fight that and be, no, I want to live my life this way, and that's okay.
But you've lived your life the way you wanted to live it.
Yeah, but
so far you're so young.
Yeah. But there's always that struggle of comparing yourself to other people, and so that's what I'm going back to, you know. But yeah, there was that time and that void somehow when I came back from all those projects that I had to start back from scratch and hit the ground again.
Mm-hmm.
And what do I do? And that's where we get creative mm-hmm. with our time
exactly.
and our energies. So I started auditioning again and doing all those
teaching.
Yeah, that's always.
You always have that.
I always do, and I really enjoy it because
I'm sure you
it's.
Do. Well, you're really sweet. You know, why wouldn't you know?
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, and I like to laugh in our classes and just you know, mm-hmm. it's. It's just an all-around experience. Well, if it's not fun, I don't think it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And I love empowering people through their voices. Because the instrument, the only instrument we're born with is our voice. I mean, we can use other things and they're beautiful, but our voice, we're born with that. And so it's such a part of who we are. And so when someone decides to share that in a musical way with someone else, they're sharing such a big part of them. So seeing that growth in people and seeing how they just gain all that confidence and feel pride in their voice is just beautiful. It's something that I just strive to do and love to do with everyone that comes my way, you know? And so that I dove into that. And on a more kind of selfish way, the more I teach, the more I learn about how the voice works. And it gives me more tools, you know? So it's everyone gets something out of it, and it's great. So I did like focus a lot on studying, on teaching, and I auditioned, and another In the Heights came my way. So I'm gonna be doing another one now in spring, which is great, out in Long Island at the Engman Theater. So that's something kind of exciting.
Absolutely.
Also. So I get to do this beautiful role again and see what else I can find.
You will.
Yeah.
You're living the dream. That is the dream, right?
Yeah, it's a thrill. It's a thrill, definitely. And what do you do? And just understanding that's the life of the artist. It comes up and it's one day up, one day down. What do you do with that downtime and how do you handle that?
You play the piano.
I play the piano. I do Zumba. I exercise, I train, and I teach. And that keeps some sort of sanity within me, you know. So
can you end with a little song, a little a cappella?
A little a cappella.
Well,
my hit parade is Summertime. Because it's so cold outside, why not? Summertime, and the living is easy. Fish are jumping and the cotton is high. You are daddy's rich and your ma's good looking. So hush, little baby, don't you cry.